Tonight on Geeky Existence Toys, we transform into a totally new podcast. Stay tuned for more information.
Now, all we need is a little energon and a lot of luck.
So welcome to Geeky Existence Transformers.
I be your host, Eggleg Fearful, and with me be...
Spooky Grabbit and Calibatron. I'm going to say I remember when I first got into collecting.
Brother calls, terrorize!
Welcome to another installment of Geek Existence Toys, but not. Before we explain that, I am Weirdwolf1975, and with me yet again is...
Insane Galvatron.
We're recording January 21st, 2011. And okay, I guess it's time that we explain what we're doing here. First of all, we're changing Geek Existence Toys into Geek Existence Transformers. Hopefully, by the time this comes out, we'll have our new intro theme in there, and you will have known that already. The reason that we're doing that, at least it's for the time being, the reason behind that is not necessarily an interest thing, though it is related, but we were concerned with our podcast content quality.
Yeah, we were getting, there's a lot of toy lines that we're kind of interested in, but they don't really catch our fancy, and so we didn't really get passionate about them. And we were trying to go through, different toy lines each week, and we were getting very repetitive in saying things like, yeah, I remember it, but I never was into it. I remember it, but I never was into it. And it was getting stale recording the podcast, so I'm sure it was getting stale people listening to it. So I guess it worked out best to just, okay, let's just talk about what we're passionate about. That way our passion will hopefully come through in the podcast and make it more enjoyable to listen to. And since we're mostly Transformers collectors, why not just make it a primarily Transformers podcast? Although we will talk about other toys as things catch our attention from time to time.
Yeah, but nonetheless, Geek Existence Toys isn't completely disappearing. For those of you out there who are listening, that are listening just because you're a toy collector, it's not like we're going to just snub you or something. But I kind of feel personally that we've been doing you a disservice in that if we don't know about a toy line ourselves, and are not particularly interested in it, we're not really telling you much of anything that you really can't find by just Googling on the internet. And it's cool that we had a chance to talk about some stuff, and there's a few things that we did talk about that I actually enjoyed as a child, but I really have no interest in them now. For example, like He-Man. I mean, I really liked He-Man back in the day, and it's not that I didn't have any passion about it. That was something I could talk about. But, you know, on the flip side, Greg was really into TMNT, yet I really didn't care about TMNT. You know, and it just seemed like every podcast I remember it, but this is all I know about it. And we just didn't want to get into a repetitive thing, but Geek Existence Toys isn't completely disappearing. It's just taking an indefinite hiatus until we can find maybe a third podcaster or so to help us out with by rounding out our toy knowledge and interest. We're really wanting to find a third person that has a big interest in collecting toys as much as say Insane Galvatron and I do, and but not necessarily in Transformers. If he's a big time collector in say G.I. Joe, and he also dabbles in like Iron Man, you know, just for example, we're looking for that kind of person. And if you're interested, please shoot us an email or something. We'd like to get to know you. Obviously, we're not just going to say, "Hey, come right on the podcast with us," but we'd like to get to know somebody first and really work on our content. Geek Existence is going to be around to stay. We're working on a new format for the website. I think the forums are going to pretty much stay the way they are. But the way we present the website, the main website, is probably going to change to reflect the podcasts more and not necessarily just reporting news, because that's not what we do. We just want to bring a passion about the toy lines that they are due, and not just sit here and just week in, week out, say the same, basically the same things over and over. Although I'm not saying that even we found the last 10 podcasts boring, they were by no means boring. I totally enjoyed it. But as far as providing information and providing passionate discussion about something, we just couldn't do that. And that's not interesting to talk to over a long period of time. We could not maintain it. We was actually getting to the point where we're debating what to talk about each week. Why don't we just talk about something that we both have interest in, we both have passion about, and we stay up to date with the current news and everything. We can talk about that. It's what we collect. We can talk about that.
Yeah, because I think with the trying to do a different toy line every week, we were running into the problem, as you said, what do we talk about next? Because we'd pretty much covered our second favorite toy lines, and then our third favorite toy lines, and then there was like, okay, now there's just stuff I'm aware of, I don't know much about. And yeah, I'm like you, it wasn't necessarily, you know, boring, and so to speak, as far as doing the podcasts, but I mean, we were going to start having to just talk about stuff we know nothing about, that doesn't interest us, and it just... Maybe boring was a poor choice of words earlier, but it was just more the sense of, if we don't care that much about it, how much that's going to come across into the listener that you're going to really care about it. We'd pretty much exhausted all of our other, you know, interests, even if it's not stuff we collect, and it's like, okay, like you said, just talk about something we enjoy rather than out of obligation talking about toy line X, Y, and Z that we really don't care about.
Yeah, and this I would actually consider Geek Existence Transformers an offshoot of Geek Existence Toys. We'll just kind of keep Geek Existence Toys where it's at, and you know, maybe down the line, once we get things a little more squared away and everything, we'll take back up with it right where we left off. It'll still be in this podcast.
Family,
and we'll probably keep the Geek Existence Transformers, since, like I said, that's what we have the most interest in, and I'm sure we'll get a lot of listeners eventually that are Transformer only listeners, and it'll be more interesting to talk to listen to us, I believe, in the long run, when we just talk about this, and. It's more of a quality issue than an interest issue, I would have to say.
Exactly, I agree.
But that's enough about the changeover. So welcome to Geek Existence Transformers. It's still episode 11. We're not starting the numbers over or anything like that. This is kind of taking up where we left off. But that's about it for that. Did you have anything happen to you this week, Greg? Anything interesting? That...
I feel like you're leading me into something, but I'm not catching the segue.
No, I'm not leading you into something.
Oh, okay. I feel like you're like, okay, I didn't think we were segueing into my most interesting story yet. That's later. It's just been more of the same. You know, as everybody knows, pretty much everywhere in the country right now, and in the U.S., we're getting tons and tons of snow. And being a truck driver, it's not fun rolling, you know, 30 tons of, 18 wheels around icy, slick roads.
Not fun at all.
That's pretty much been my drama for the week.
Yeah, that's same here. Lots and lots of snow, ice, cold weather. I think the wind chill right now is under zero. The actual temperature is about 8 right now outside. I was fortunate to come home, and my wife had a nice big pot of chili on, so got to sit down and eat that. And she presented me with a interesting dessert. I guess with Valentine's coming out and everything, they got these donuts that are cherry flavored. And I'm not huge a huge cherry flavored fan, but they tasted pretty good. But there's something about them that I just couldn't get by. And you know how you can kind of get the aroma of something or the scent of something in your nose while you're chewing or while you're eating on something.
Well, they say that, like, I think it's like 70 or 80% of taste is smell.
It's smell,
anyway.
Yeah. Well, these cherry donuts, they smelled like a urinal cake.
So it tasted like you're eating a urinal cake.
Well, it didn't taste like it, I'm sure. I mean, they tasted fine, but I just couldn't get over that scent. It's like I was eating a urinal cake. And I looked over at Karen. I'm like, you know, the idea behind these is great, but please don't get them again.
Well, I think the problem is they tried to make urinal cakes less raunchy, so they made them smell like cherries. And so a cherry donut's going to smell a lot like a, you know, cherry urinal cake.
I don't know why.
You add the same cherry flavoring to the urinal cake, it's going to smell the same as the donut.
Gross. Yeah. But enough about urinal cakes. Time now for our...
All right, our eBay item of the week this week is item number 1505-344-18212. It is a vintage G1 Transformers Fortress Maximus Complete, which in the title it does not say it, but according to the pictures, it is not only complete, but it is mint in box. Not sealed, but I mean, this has got to be one of the best looking Fortress Maximuses I've seen. He has like no yellowing. I mean, he's bone white all the way across. He has all the accessories, styrofoam insert, and the box, which looks to be in pretty decent shape given its age. The thing about this item that I think is a little ridiculous, though, I mean, it's something I would love to have, but never for this price. It's,
the 1,000 robot points are missing.
Oh, that's, yeah, they cut them off. But it's $1,499. Of course, it is a make offer, so maybe he may take a grand for it if somebody felt like offering. Which I think would be more reasonable for this toy. I know that sounds crazy to say $1,000 is reasonable, but I've seen these go around that range complete. Usually with a little more yellowing without the box, they usually will pull $600, $700, $800, you know, depending on other conditions. But, I mean, yeah, for one this nice with the box, I'd say $1,000 would be a fair price.
Yeah. This is probably a lot of people's holy grail of collecting. I know as a Transformer collector, it's mine. And with a price tag like that, that's one of the reasons why it is so elusive to me, because I just don't have that kind of money laying around to buy a Transformer with. And if I did, I would definitely have one already. So, yeah.
Well, I kind of figure I'm in the, you know, wanting to collect all the original G1 Transformers. You know, at least all the ones through the cartoon series from 84 to 87. And I figure a complete Fortress Maximus would probably be the last thing I purchased just because of his price. I have a Brave Max who is a stand-in because it's the same toy, just with less accessories and different colors. It was released during the Robots in Disguise series. And like I said, he's a good stand-in for now. Once I have everything else that's much more affordable, this will probably be the last guy I go after. And it'll be because, you know, I'll have all the G1 characters up to that point, and by that time, Classic should have run its course where we've had every character updated, and since those are the two main lines I collect, there won't be much else to go after. So, yeah, I'll save up and get this bad boy, but that's going to be a few years down the road.
Yeah, that's me too. I mean, unless I win the lottery sometime soon, which I don't foresee happening, I don't expect to happen, so, you know.
I don't even buy the tickets, so if I win the lottery, that's really a miracle.
Yeah. But it's like I said, it's a holy grail. It is probably, I would bank on saying it's the largest action figure ever made. I don't know the accuracy of that statement, but I would be willing to bank on it.
I don't know. Didn't we back in our holiday episode, our Christmas episode, I talked about the life-size Terminator endoskeleton?
Yeah, but that's not exactly an action figure. It's more of a statue.
Well, I don't know. It may have had some posability, and BBTS just didn't elaborate. The eyes lit up. That's an action feature.
Yay. Yeah. I just don't see getting down on the floor and tumbling around with a full-size life full life-size Terminator.
Well, of course not. You don't get in, you don't have to get in the floor to play with that. You stand up to play with it. It's life-size.
But anyway, Fortress Maximus, great figure. I loved it. I had the Brave Max at one time. I wish I still did, but help me out here, Greg.
Yeah, you had to sell it at one point, and it is a great figure. I mean, I'd never, as a kid, I was never really got into the Headmasters much. I was still after the pre-movie and then the post-movie toys. By the time the line ended, they only had one episode. I'm not sure I caught it the first time it aired. So they just never really were something that's like, ooh, I want those. And also, I only saw Fortress Maximus in the toy catalogs that came with the toys, and he wasn't next to any other Transformers for size comparisons. I had no idea he was as big as he was, or I may have asked for him just for that reason. So it wasn't until the Brave Max toy was released that I saw this mold for the first time and saw how big it was. It was actually at your house.
Yeah.
You had one, and I, had, I guess it was around, 2003?
Somewhere in there.
And I came, and I was like, holy crap, that's the biggest Transformer I've ever seen. And, so I messed with yours for a few minutes. I was like, okay, I got to buy one. And that was when BBTS had them. That was back when they had the $5 flat rate shipping anywhere in the U.S. And they had the Korean, or was it the Korean box version, which was it was made by Takara. It was the exact same toy, but it was just in a different box. I think it was $129.99 plus the $5 shipping. So it was like for $135.
It might have been. Seems like to me I gave $150 for the Car Robots Japanese version.
Right. I think the Korean one was a little cheaper.
Yeah.
I think. So yeah, it was. I know it was under $140 that I paid for it shipped. And that was amazing. At the time, my daughter was maybe. This may be a little early. This may have been around 2001. Because I know my daughter wasn't very old, and she was born October of 96, so she couldn't have been over 3 years old. So, and this thing was nearly as big as she was. I mean, it was amazing. She walked in, and she'd always seen my little robots I had sitting around. I'd started buying some, and so you can imagine, you got a little kid walking through, and she walks over, and there's a toy that's just like eye level. It was pretty funny. I wish I'd taken some pictures, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's something. It seems like there's a poster on one of the forums we go to has a picture of his son or daughter. They're just a toddler, and they're like standing next to Brave Max or Fort Max, and they're pretty much eye level with it. And it's like, wow, that's a big toy. But I think that's enough about Fort Max. But
yeah, so if anybody's interested in one, there's one on eBay now. If you, I don't know that he'll take $1,000, but it wouldn't hurt to offer. I think it's a fine specimen, and that would be a fair price.
Most definitely.
Now it's time for Ouch My Wallet!
All right, Ouch My Wallet is now on the air. And, Greg, what did you get this week?
Yeah, the thing that made my wallet go ouch, those who are regular listeners have heard, the insane electric bill. The mystery continues to unravel as to what caused that high electric bill. My wallet is still saying ouch from that, so I haven't bought really any new toys. But I did get a new Transformer. Just, I did not pay for it. And it's not what you're thinking. It was
you
a Decepticon.
Stole it.
No. It was a Decepticon, and it was hiding in my backyard. Turns out that, my electric bill was high. I had, I put some insulation in. Turned out that wasn't entirely the problem. There's a hole in duct work. I taped that up. Then I started noticing I was losing heat. It seems like each day that went by, there was less and less warm air blowing out the vents. So I had to call the heating and air guy. So here's, more out of my wallet. Spent more money to have the guy come out and do a service call to see what the problem was. And for those of you who aren't electricians, you've got your wall outlets in your house that have 110 volts. But you have actually a total of 220 that comes into the house, 220 volts. And it goes throughout the house to different areas. And they divide that in half for your wall outlets. That's why you get 110. That's usually why they're in pairs, 110 in each socket. But then you have some appliances that run on the 220, like your dryer will have that big fat plug. That's 220. The 220 also tends to go usually to your furnace. All right, well, the service guy gets up there in the attic where my furnace is, and he's trying to check it to find the problem, and he sticks his voltmeter on there. And he says, hold on a minute, I think my voltmeter's bad. So he goes to the truck to get another one, comes back, goes up in there again. Nope, it's not the voltmeter. It was 270 volts. Oh. He immediately came down and checked a wall outlet or two, and they had 136 volts. Remember, they're only supposed to have 110. He pretty much told me, yeah, there's your problem. He says you've got too much voltage coming into the house, which has probably burnt up the heating coils in the furnace. And I should call the electric company right away because that could actually start a fire in my house. So the electric company comes out. They check it at the meter up back. Sure enough, it's got 270-some volts coming in. They, you know, do their probing around they do to find the problem, and it turns out that I had a bad transformer on the pole behind my house. It was, you know, supposed to downgrade the amount of electricity from the high tension lines to the 220 to come into the house, and it wasn't. It was allowing 270 to come in. So I had a bad transformer in my backyard trying to set my house on fire.
Did it have a Decepticon insignia on it?
No, but, you know, that's because he was in disguise, but I'm sure he probably should have had one. Because, yeah, it was a bad transformer, therefore it's a Decepticon. So that's what I got this
week.
What
was this Decepticon's name?
Jolt.
Jolt? I thought he was an Autobot.
He certainly was a
robot in disguise.
Yes. So, yeah, there we go. I got my new transformer, courtesy of the electric company, and it's on the pole outside.
Awesome.
And so that's what I got this week.
That's the biggest, most expensive transformer anyone could ever have if they actually bought one by themselves.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it costs more than that Fortress Maximus we just looked at.
You know, I'm surprised that Hasbro and Takara haven't actually made a transformer.
Probably because there's no play value in that. How many kids would want to play with that box at the top of the light pole?
Well, how much play value can you have in, say,
a toaster?
Yeah.
Because they made a transforming toaster.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's...
You know, well, for the...
Didn't they have a light pole or something?
Well, there was Japan? They never actually made a toy of it, but it was in the cartoon in Cybertron, I think it was. There was, I don't remember his name, he turned into a traffic light. Signal Lancer, that was his name.
Yes.
Yeah, they never actually made a toy of that.
Hmm. Yeah, that... I don't know. Fail.
But I bet a kitbasher could turn that toaster into a transformer, like electric pole transformer, if they wanted to. It's a similar
There's an
shape.
Idea. There is an idea.
All right, so what about you, Dron? What made your wallet say ouch this week?
My wallet didn't say too much this week. I kept it kind of cheap, with the exception of one of them. It was a little bit more than I wanted to pay, but seeing as how it's not released anymore, and I didn't have one anymore, and I really, really love this character, so I had to go out and pick one up again. I picked up Classic Sunstreaker. Found one on eBay for $30 shipped. I was hoping to get one for $25 or less, but you know, that's a pipe dream anymore, seeing as how popular his character is. It's kind of hard to find them anymore, so yeah, I find myself kind of lucky getting one for $30.
Yeah, that's a pretty good price nowadays. I mean, that's about his going rate. He's not quite like a, you know, Rodimus where he's going to go for $80, but at the same time, he's not going to get cheaper the longer you wait either.
No, I'd like to get a Sideswipe again, kind of complete the brothers. I've got G1 Sideswipe and G1 Sunstreaker. It would only make sense to have Classic Sideswipe and Classic Sunstreaker to me. You know, I'm slowly trying to rebuild my Classics collection, with a few Henkei's thrown in there, because sometimes a Henkei version is just so much better, and that's why I'm waiting, probably in the next week or two, if I can absolutely afford it while they're still somewhat affordable, I'm going to pick up a Henkei Optimus Prime.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'd always thought the Henkeis looked a little better than the Hasbro versions. In some cases, not all, but especially the first Classics line, because Hasbro went a little further away from the classic paint apps as far as what was on the vintage toys. And so I thought the Henkeis were better, but by the time the Henkeis came out, they didn't come out until the Universe line was released here, like 2 years later. And by that time, I already had all the Classics. But then I went through the big purge where I sold... you know, most of my toys, and so I even sold my Classics. And then by the time I decided, okay, well, I sold most of my toys, but I should have kept the Classics, the Classics figures had gone up in value so much that I could get the Henke's for the same price. So I replaced most of my 06 Classics with the Henke versions. And I got to say, especially guys like Sunstreaker, much better toy. As far as, I mean, he's got a deeper yellow. It's not as bright. It's got the chrome spoiler. Yeah, it's just all around, he was nicer. The Prime has the darker red. It's less, you know, bright. It doesn't pop as much.
Plus, he has a chrome grill.
Chrome grill and bumper. Yeah, I just think he's great. Now, there's a couple of exceptions. I didn't really care for the Henke versions of the Silver Streak because he had more of a gray hood than a black. I thought the black looked better. Plus, they had, like, the chrome spoilers, which, again, wanting updated versions of the old toys didn't have chrome spoilers. So it really didn't make much sense. So you had Blue Streak, Prowl, and Smokescreen. I preferred the Classics versions for that reason. The only exception to that was their Smokescreen. His paint apps on the rest of the car were better. I just didn't like the chrome spoiler. But it was toughy. I finally decided I wanted to get one just because I thought the other paint apps were nice enough I could live with the chrome spoiler. But then now I can't find one at all for any price. Like, anytime I look for one, it's never on eBay. You know, I looked for it at the last BotCon. There was not a single one in the building, so I may never get that one. I mean, just to settle for the Classics I have.
Well, for that very reason, I was, like I said, you know, I wanted to pick up more Henkes and stuff myself. A few times I've kind of dipped back into the Classics line simply because they're more affordable on my limited budget. But while I still could, I picked up Henke, Hound, and Ravage. And those were $25 from TF Source. They were also BBTS, but I hadn't bought anything from TF Source in a while, so I kind of went that route. And I haven't opened him yet, but I much prefer his lighter green color scheme and paint apps than I do the Classics version of Hound.
I actually have both versions of Hound because it was, by the time he was released in the U.S., again, the Henke was being released around the same time, and I got the privy of seeing the, you know, comparison shots, and I agree the Henke Hound looked so much better. But, you know, it was one of those deals where impulse buy, I had some cash burning a hole in my pocket, and I was in the store, and I saw Hound. I hadn't received the Henke Hound yet that I'd ordered, so I thought, what the hey, and I picked it up. And so I actually have both. And yeah, and I think you got it for $25. That's like the original retail. I think that wasn't that toy recently re-released. Like they did another run on it. That's why all the stores have them in stock for the original retail.
It's possible. I'm kind of thinking they might have went ahead and did another run on it since they had the Hound mold out for the BotCon Scorch and everything. This is just purely conjecture, but. It's possible that since they had the mold out again for the BotCon Scorches, that they just, okay, why don't we just go ahead and run some more Hound and Ravages?
I would not be surprised.
But if you use that same logic, you would also wonder why, since they had Rapido using the Smokescreen Silver Streak Prowl mold, why they didn't just run some more of those as well.
I don't know, were those bringing
some kind of holes in my theory, but, I mean, that's my theory, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, maybe they weren't aware of the demand for those three, because, I mean, I think, I don't think they were necessarily, their demand had gone up as quick as Hound's. I think Hound had sold out faster on his original release, and his price had skyrocketed a little more. I don't think the Nissan brothers, I mean, yeah, like I said, Smokescreen's impossible to find now as far as the Henke, but I don't know that they sold out fast enough for Takara to be aware that there's enough demand to warrant a second release.
Well, I'm with the impending release of Classics Thundercracker, I'm kind of wondering if they'll re-release the Henke versions of Thundercracker and Skywarp.
I'm kind of doubting it because
maybe Starscream.
Those were in Japan, they were Gintei releases, which were limited, like a store exclusive.
But then they have different paint apps?
Well, they had different paint apps than the BotCon versions, because you had the BotCon Thundercracker and the Target Skywarp here in the U.S. So they released them over there with different paint schemes, but they were also still limited. There was no regular Henke release of those toys. The only release was those exclusives.
Maybe we might finally see a Sunstorm.
That would be nice.
It would be nice. But my final ouch my wallet item I picked up last night, I picked up Hunt for Decepticons Oil Pan, which is a repaint of the movie
Breakdown.
Was it movie 2?
Yes.
Breakdown?
Yes.
Yeah. And I missed Breakdown. It was one of those figures that I was kind of on the fence about picking up, and then by the time I got around to actually wanting to get one, I couldn't find a Breakdown anymore. So I went with Oil Pan because, like I said in previous podcasts, I am a sucker for orange Transformers. I don't know why. But I really like Oil Pan.
Didn't you live in Florida for a while?
Yeah.
Don't they grow oranges down there? Why.
Yeah, I actually lived in the middle of an orange grove.
Yeah, so it's a subconscious thing.
Possibly. I don't know. Maybe. But the only complaint I have with Oil Pan is his arms and legs are very floppy. I mean, they're so loose, it's hard for him to keep a pose. And I don't know.
My Breakdown wasn't that bad.
I don't know if it's possible that the mold might be slightly degraded, because it is a very simple, cheaper feeling mold. It doesn't exactly have a sturdy feel to it, but I don't know. It's trying to look at him here. Yeah, his at the elbows, he's very loose, and then the legs and at the hips are really floppy.
I mean,
it's like I can lay him down and his legs splay out and his arms fall off to the side.
I mean, that may be normal. I don't know, 'cause I don't have that toy in front of me. It's been a while since I've messed with it, but I don't recall it being so floppy that I thought, wow, look how floppy it is. Yeah. But then again, I think my expectations for Revenge of the Fallen toys was pretty low, because a lot of them did feel pretty cheap and crappy. So maybe it was just the expectations I had for it. It, you know, didn't really leave an impression, because it wasn't, you know, it was about what I expected.
Yeah. But all in all, he's still a pretty cool figure. I know we kind of argued last night as to what kind of car he's supposed to represent.
Yeah, I can see a little of a
kind of resembles a Lamborghini to me, but you say not.
Yeah, he looks more like a Ferrari to me as far as his shape, but the detailings don't match up. I think he's a amalgamation of supercars.
Kind of.
He kind of looks a little like a Lotus as well. The,
E-Sprit?
No, not the E-Sprit. I can't remember the model of Lotus, but there's a Lotus car that's similar to that. And see if I can do a quick Google search while you continue to talk about something else.
Well, I mean, he's still pretty nice. I would have much preferred the Breakdown color scheme, I'm sure. But kind of looking at him, you know, see, I guess that's another reason why he looks a lot like a Lamborghini to me, is because his first color scheme was a Breakdown, and Breakdown was supposed to be a Lamborghini.
Right.
So I guess that's maybe why I'm getting the Lamborghini vibe from him. He kind of, at first I said Murcielago, but I'm thinking more of a Gallardo is what he kind of looks like to me. I don't know. I'm not a car expert, so
it might be
don't shoot me if I'm
It might be a Lotus E-Sprit that I was thinking of, but I was thinking of an older model, not the new ones. You want to go back to like the 90s model Lotus E-Sprit. That's what he reminds me of. I'm looking at a picture of one here on Google, but it doesn't tell me the exact year.
But he is pretty cool. And that's pretty much all I got this past week. It's, you know, with the with BotCon time, I've got the time off now. I really want to start watching my pennies. I'd say probably Henke Prime will probably be the only big ticket item I'll get in the foreseeable future. I've already canceled my pre-order for Masterpiece Rodimus, simply for the reason that he's very expensive and I just can't afford that right now, especially if I'm trying to save money. I need to look into getting a plane ticket. I know we've been kind of talking about going together. Have you looked into plane tickets?
No,
at all
I keep
for
forgetting
Pasadena?
To. I keep planning. I know I've looked into it solo. I was going to look into, like, if you buy more than one, if it gets cheaper per person. But I keep forgetting to go to check it out on the website. But yeah, I'm like you. I've also got that coming. But I've got a pretty decent income tax refund coming, which that's how I'm going to pay for my plane ticket. It's just the IRS has decided to start accepting tax forms later. You know, they used to take them after the first of the year, as soon as you could get them ready. And a little secret tip that I always used is that you can use your last pay stub of the year, would have all the pertinent information that your tax preparer needs. And you could get a leg up and get an e-file with a direct deposit. You can have your money by the middle of January if you filed right for the first of the year. But they've decided to not accept tax forms until February 1st. So I know the longer I wait, the more expensive the plane tickets are going to be. So I'm hoping the money hurries up and gets here soon.
Yeah, that's one thing. I mean, we need to get that squared away. And is BotCon registrations up already?
No.
I haven't even looked.
No, the registrations usually won't go up until they get ready to start revealing toys. I would look for it to happen around March. I think that's when it did last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, it'd be a good idea to kind of get our plane tickets and everything in order. As far as spending money for BotCon, I'm kind of debating whether or not I'll even have enough, which will be painful, but being able to be there, and you know that they're going to do something related to the movie at this particular con, so that might be worth the price of admission alone, and being able to come away with the exclusive set. So, you know, I don't think I'll leave completely empty-handed, but
yeah, it's
I don't look to have a whole lot of money to spend at the BotCon, should I be able to actually go.
You know, it's weird. BotCon is like the best opportunity to pick up like vintage Transformers because you can actually hold them in hand to examine their quality.
You're telling me.
There's a large assortment.
I had a haul last year.
Yeah, there's a large assortment. You know, lots of parts dealers. You can get parts for ones you have. But it seems like every year that I get to go to BotCon, it never fails. I'm always broke when I get there. But, you know, to me, it's not about, as much as that part appeals to me, I never really gotten to take advantage of it, because the only year I've been at BotCon with a significant amount of money was the year I was there selling my collection, so I really wasn't interested in buying anything that year. You know, it's more about the experience. If it was just about the buying of vintage toys, I would probably have given up and stopped going. Because, like I said, but usually by the time I get there, I spend so much money just getting there and getting exclusives that I don't have anything left to shop the dealer room with. I go for the experience. You know, it's the panels, the previews of new toys that are coming out, and meeting other fans from the internet in person. That's what it's about for me.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, I know last year was probably the funnest BotCon I've ever been to. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to this year if it does turn out that I'm definitely able to go. I just want to see the people that I've met before, and I know we've met a few, like Vangelis and Omegas Prime from the WTF and TFW podcast, and Gog Dog. They're all pretty cool guys. Like to meet them again. Hang around with Aaron Archer and everything. What's this link that you just sent?
To the car, I think that the breakdown oil pan is actually supposed to be, with just some slight tweaks so that they can't get trouble for copyright issue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
That's an Esprit,
yep,
isn't it?
That's one of the newer ones.
It's like a 90, maybe?
No, that's probably late... That's probably early 2000s, I think. It doesn't say the year.
It does kind of resemble him, though.
No, I take that back. This ran from 85 to 89 was the year of that car. I just looked at the website. I got the picture from.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. But anyway, back to BotCon, though. You know, one of my ideas, though, I'm kind of hoping, you know, if my wife is able to go, and even if she's not, I'm kind of thinking of getting two box sets this year if I can. You know, two Primus packages if she goes. That way, I'll have one box set that I'll definitely be able to keep, and hopefully this year's box set will be as sought after as, say, last year's, mm-hmm. And I can just turn around and flip it for at least 150 or so or more, and use that money to actually buy vintage stuff with.
Yeah, so. I've heard of a lot of people putting them up on eBay the night they get them, but thing about eBay is it takes a few days for an auction to close, so you won't actually have any money before the convention's over. Selling them at the convention sometimes works, but I think like last year there were a lot of people trying to unload them, and so nobody was really offering much money for them. People were having a really hard time selling them.
Well, I know I had a bag set that had double punch and Scorch and Double Punch, and I only wanted Scorch out of it, and I kept trying to sell Double Punch. Nobody wanted Double Punch. But yet, after the con, a month after the con, somebody offered me $85 for Double Punch by himself.
You only paid like, what, $90 for the bag set?
For the whole set, yeah. So, I mean, I'm like, you know, it didn't kind of make sense, but at the same time, this person that offered me $85 wasn't able to go to the con, and he was well past time. You know, you really couldn't find any BotCon stuff at a decent price, and he thought that $85 was a fair price, and so did I. So I sold my Double Punch. I'd actually consigned myself to actually keeping Double Punch until this guy made the offer, and I went ahead and kept it. So I'm really looking forward to BotCon. Maybe we'll talk more about it once more things are revealed, but that's why I'm kind of trying to watch my pennies. If I get anything expensive, it'll be Henke Prime. I want to try to keep it to $25 or less, though, for the next foreseeable future.
Yeah, the only bad thing is we just heard reports that the Reveal the Shield Wave 2 has been spotted in California, so it's like trying to save money, but all these new toys we want keep coming out. I need the tax refund so I can hurry up and get...
And that entire wave I want, because it has Rekgar,
Perceptor,
G2 Prime, and no, has Rekgar, G2 Prime, and Bumblebee, which is what was spotted.
Well, Perceptor too. He's in that wave.
Oh, it was okay.
Yeah, he's the half track. That's why he's not recognizable first. He's not a microscope. I was gonna say, but he still looks cool. Yeah, that's why I just want to say I just need to get that tax refund in here so I can hurry up and book my plane ticket. And then set money aside for my pre-registration. That way I don't have to worry about, you know, spending that money on other things and coming up short when it's time to go. That way it'll already be, everything will be in place, so all I got to do is just go.
Yeah. In other Transformer news, we've seen some good, crisp, clear images of Generations Thundercracker. It looks like he's not going to have the animation... light blue that we've been hoping for.
Yeah, because, I mean, we had the BotCon toy, and then as we mentioned, there was the Henke release. Both of them were these darker blues like the original toy. And so we kind of thought, Hasbro would not want to release it in a color scheme too similar. Because as we said, when they were released as Henke exclusives, they changed the paint apps some, even though the shade of blue was similar. So the idea was, they don't want to re-release something that was an exclusive and thus make it not exclusive. They'll make a drastic change. And so we were expecting the light blue anime color, which incidentally they put on Battle in Space 2-pack Rodimus's windows. You know, it kind of would have made sense to go with that cartoon color so that way he would be different than the other releases, but yet still give people Thundercracker. But Thundercracker. No, they surprised us that it's going to be the dark blue that we, you know, pretty much same shade as the other two toys.
And cue the fan rage for the BotCon Thundercrackers, because to me he looks a lot like the BotCon Thundercracker.
No, but actually, you know, from what I've seen on the boards, the people who have the BotCon Thundercracker, I haven't really seen too many of them being upset that everyone else has a chance to get it. Most of them seem to be kind of happy for people. You know, they love their set, but they're you know, they're glad that people who couldn't get the set or can't afford the set are able to get a Thundercracker. I haven't seen that much rage.
Well. You know, the thing is, with BotCon releasing the classic seekers such as Thundercracker and Thrust and Dirge, and then we turning around and getting them for Generations, it really enraged me back whenever BotCon did it, because I didn't want to pay the premium price for those figures, and now I don't have to, and that's what's great. You know, to be able to get them at a more affordable price. I know at my local Walmart, there's at least 3 Thrusts just hanging on the pegs right now. And,
Thrust.
You know, that was just a pipe dream a couple years ago.
That's a funny name for a Transformer, Thrust.
Thrust. Ha 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 ha. Let's burn something. But also, Reveal the Shield Rumble images. I'm sure... this clears up a lot of stuff.
No, it doesn't clear anything up. It just fuels the fire in the debate, because you still got people
Rib fur.
You got some people saying that he's, because his name on the package is Demolitions Rumble. They're like, well, that's the Rumble is still red, but that's his repaint into blue in Demolitions Rumble. Just like Hasbro likes to take a toy, like you say, Skids, and then repaint it, call it Tuner Skids. It's, you know, it's the same character just repainted in a different color. And so the debate rages on.
I don't care. Rumble is blue.
Yeah,
Frenzy
I'm
is red.
Of the rib fur.
End of story.
I am
Shut
of the
up.
Rib fur persuasion, because as a kid, I never owned those tapes, so I never saw the packaging to see the name backwards. I just saw the cartoon, and Rumble was blue. So I grew up thinking Rumble was blue.
To me, the cartoon is canon, and if, like you said, in the cartoon, Rumble is blue, Frenzy is red, therefore, the toy should be that way. I don't care what the toy package says. Whenever I played with them as kids, that's what they were.
I've got a new take on this as well. Because it's always the people that want to go by the toy origin. Well, the toys were first, and the toys had Rumble as red. The cartoon had Rumble as blue. Something I want to mention, though, is like we talk about all the toy releases of Rumble that have been red. We really haven't had very many blue ones. Here's my thoughts, though. In the toys, when Rumble was red, if you read his tech spec, it made it sound like the tumblers in his chest, which, if you know, if you ever had a tape from the 80s, some of you that may be listening are too young, don't remember cassette tapes. But they had little teeth gears in the middle that the player would spin around to roll the tape. And the toy bio talks like those things would spin and send vibrations down his legs to shake the ground. Whereas in the cartoon, the arms turned into pile drivers. So I look at it as any Rumble with pile drivers should be blue. If he doesn't have pile drivers and say just he's just got the name, or if he's supposed to shake the ground with his feet, then he can be red. And see, you know, this Rumble actually has pile driver arms. So, therefore, he's the cartoon Rumble. He should be blue.
But doesn't Reveal the Shield Frenzy also have
pile
drivers?
In the cartoon, when Rumble was blue and Frenzy was red, they had pile drivers. In the toys, where Rumble was red, Frenzy was blue, they didn't have pile drivers. So that's when a toy is released with pile drivers, the blue one has to be Rumble. If it's released without pile drivers, then the blue one can be Frenzy.
I totally don't follow you. But anyway, the rib fur argument is ages old, and we move
on. It has gone on since 1984 and will continue on, just as the Who Became Cyclonus argument.
Bombshell. Reacher, Redeco, what's that?
I prefer Skywarp.
Breacher, the Redeco image has showed up, and we now know his name will be Body Block. Your thoughts?
I like Breacher. He's really cool. A lot of people say he's an homage to Roller for Prime, although we really don't have a Classics Prime trailer to put him in unless you go third party. I mean, he's a good toy.
I don't think he's an homage to anybody.
He's
a
great toy.
He's
extremely complex for a basic, and I think he's a great toy. However, and maybe it's because I'm a G1er and there's no really tie to anything in G1. I don't have any special connection to the toy other than thinking it's cool. I don't like it enough to buy a second color. And quite frankly, the green and white on Body Block, I don't know, it looks like a NASCAR to me.
Well, Dale Jr. But I think the reason they did the green and white was so he would go with Deep Dive, which is the Sea Spray repaint. And personally, I like both toys, and I have the first colors of both toys, which is Breacher and Sea Spray. And I really don't, even though I do like them, I really don't want another color scheme of them.
Right.
I'm not compelled to purchase them. And I think Body Block will be a shelf warmer. I can just see that. He'll be right up there with probably Oil Pan and the rest of them that's on the shelf right now.
Well, if Body Block, speaking of, if he ends up being a shelf warmer, he would be a good toy to, okay, well, let's clear the shelves to get new product. We buy them all up and then just sit on them until next Christmas and throw them in the Toys for Tots bin, because it is an awesome mold and would be a great toy for kids. So,
yeah. And that is one suggestion that we support, that if you find a bunch of figures that are clogging the shelf, such as, say, Jet Blade and Tuner Mudflap, Tuner Skids, Sea Attack Ravage, buy them up and be generous, and next year for the Toys for Tots, dump them in that dump bin.
Would giving tuner mud flap to kids for Christmas really be considered being generous? That would be more like torture.
Well, it's helping us out.
It's helping us. It's not helping the kids. At least with Body Block, my suggestion, it's a cool toy. You know, it's a cool mold nonetheless. But
yeah. But speaking of homages to original characters, interestingly enough, Generations RC and Warpath have appeared in Walmart computers. Now, this may or may not actually mean anything. We've seen things go in into Walmart computers and then mysteriously disappear. But we've also seen things appear in Walmart computers. None of us know what they are. And one of them I remember was the... was it not alternators that first appeared in Walmart computers? Nobody really knew what alternators were until we saw
it was Botcon 04. We saw a smoke screen. No, it was Botcon 03.
Yeah.
There was a smoke. They had a smoke screen there.
And I think that's what we kind of finally realized what alternators were. But the first time they popped up was in Walmart computers. But now we have RC and Warpath.
Well, now, just to throw something generations. In here, I know Warpath will probably be a classic. There's the comic that came with the Battle in Space 2-pack depicts a Warpath that doesn't look... Because everything in that comic is either a toy that's been updated in Classics and the character is drawn in that form, or in their Generation 1 form if they have not gotten an update. Warpath was the lone exception in that he looked like Warpath, but he looked updated. So there's a good chance that's what Warpath is. However, in this RC... Another news item that's been this week, and that's what I speculate this RC could be. We're all hoping it's a Generation 1 car RC, but there's been reports from some people in China that supposedly have connections with the factories where toys are made that they are working on Transformers Prime toys, and we are going to get, even though the line itself we were told wasn't going to release until late this year, in the fall or whatever, there is word that we're going to get some toys a little earlier of the five main cast Autobots, all in deluxe size. Now, this is just, again, they don't know anything about the line they're releasing or anything. They just know that they're being produced. And the one that was particularly the furthest along was RC, which would be the Blue Motorcycle. And since they were all deluxe size, the toy line itself is not supposed to be out until into the fall. But yet, these are supposedly coming within the next few months because they're already far enough along in production. I'm going to step out on a limb and say this RC that came up in Walmart's computers that's in the Generations line will in fact be the Transformers Prime RC Deluxe. I don't think we're going to get our G1 RC. I don't think we're getting that.
Well, I don't think we are either. I think we're getting the Prime version simply for the reason that, it wasn't too long ago that third parties released a very good passable Classics RC. Like Indelicate Warrior and the TRNS-01. I was able to pick up the TRNS-01, and to me that fits in with Classics, G1, what have you, just fine. And if Hasbro had any intention whatsoever of releasing a RC that was much like the G1 character, I'm sure they would have went after these third parties like it was nobody's business.
Well, I don't know.
Didn't see that happen.
I think there's legal issues there. I think Hasbro wants us to think they've got that kind of power. And again, if it were a U.S. company releasing those, I think they could. But I think it's the fact that they're in China. Our legal system doesn't necessarily... I mean, as much as America wants to think it's the world's police force, they have their own laws over there. And, they can do whatever they want over there, and it doesn't matter how many of our laws it violates. It doesn't matter, because our laws don't apply there. So I don't think it's so much that Hasbro would stop them as it is Hasbro probably can't because they're based in China. But that said, I don't know. I think it's a G1 RC is just something that fans have wanted for so long. And I think, Hasbro likes to keep that one carrot dangling just to keep us on our toes and to keep us anticipating, just to keep us salivating for the toys. And I think the RC would be the one toy, if they finally gave us a G1 RC, there'd be this huge sigh of relief across the entire fandom, and then we would stop throwing so much money at Hasbro.
Yeah, it's
kind of like we'd all have our geekgasm, and then we just want to take a nap. And, you know, Hasbro doesn't want us napping. They want us to keep going. So.
Definitely. But I'm kind of excited. If this is the Transformers Prime RC, I'm interested to see how they do the mass shifting effect. Because in the cartoon, she is obviously a very small motorcycle, yet she turns into this enormous robot that is on par with, say, Prime and Bulkhead and Ratchet. I'm kind of interested to see if they actually pull that off in this deluxe-sized figure. We're assuming that it's a deluxe. It might actually be a legend or even a basic.
Well, so. the what we heard from the person in China was that they're all five are being released as deluxes, which is the reason why I thought they're going to come out in Generations line, because one, it's too early for the Prime toy line to launch, and two, you know, the Generations line is deluxe only. So it kind of makes sense, okay? Why are they releasing them all in deluxe instead of releasing, like, you know, Prime and Bulkhead as Voyagers? Well, because they couldn't put that in Generations if they did that. I think it's just a way to kind of, like, get preview toys of that line. Now, I do wish this was a Generation 1 RC, because, as we said, there is going to be a full-on Transformers Prime toy line eventually, and we'll get an RC in that. I would like this to be the G1 RC. I think this is this preview we're going to get of those toys. But you're talking about the mass shifting. I think they're not really too worried about scale in the toys. They don't matter if RC is the same size as Prime in toy form. They don't really seem to care. But I was looking at some pictures of RC in motorcycle and robot mode. And if I had more time, I've got a lot of other projects I'm working on in SolidWorks with my 3D CAD. Or I would throw together a quick render. Wouldn't have all the detailing, but just to show here's the parts, here's the sizes. Here's what it'd be as a robot, here's what it'd be as a motorcycle. I can totally see how RC could go from the robot in scale with the tires, with the way the wheels are on the back of her legs and in her back, to a motorcycle that would be in scale with its wheels. It would involve a lot of sliding gimmicks, like the legs, like the thigh would slide down into to the shins, like we see on a lot of toys. But you have some sliding gimmicks in the legs and a couple of places where things will fold, like the wheel comes out of the chest, out of the back. The head goes down into the cavity that it was in, down inside the chest. I could see a workable transformation to get RC to be a proportionate robot and to transform into a proportionate motorbike. I can see it happening. And I'm surprised so many people are saying they don't see how it could happen, because, you know, I didn't have to spend more than 5 minutes looking at the two pictures to see how it could work.
Well, I'm just not as visually intuitive as you, I guess, but I mean, I don't see it.
It's more
personally.
Of an engineering thing. I've got a brain that can look at the parts of a robot and a car, and I can figure out how to work the two from one to the other. Things I can't really reveal on the podcast, but yeah, I have some little bit of experience with that. I've been putting it to use, but it's just the way that my brain happens to work. I can see those kind of things, and I can very easily work out a transformation on that toy. It has to do with the idea that RC is so long and lean. If you look at her body, she's so skinny because she's got that feminine figure that there's really not that much mass there. And then when you consider that in her chest, you've got a tire in there. By the time you pull something as big as that wheel out of her chest, you know, there's not a lot of mass left. It's just basically the two, you know, just the front plate and the shoulder blades. And, you know, the whole rest of the torso is hollow. So that really thins her out. And she's already pretty thin to begin with. I think it's an optical illusion. Because she's so tall and skinny, it makes it look like there's more mass shifting than there is. Now, I admit in the cartoon, they did use some for scale on the cartoon reasons, because I think the transformation will work, but like I said, you could have her in scale or in robot mode, but then when they all turn into car mode and the toys go, the motorcycle would be way out of scale with the rest of the cars. Be too big. But, yeah, I can totally see the transformation working, though.
But I believe that's enough for the Transformers news this week. On to our topic of discussion. It's somewhat Transformers news, but it's been kind of leaking out over the last few weeks, really. Dark of the Moon toys have been leaking out, or at least prototypes and box images. What are your thoughts?
Well, again, first thing I want to throw out there is if anybody's trying to avoid being spoiled in the movie, because some of these toys, maybe not all of them, but at least Megatron, if you are not wanting to know anything about the movie, you probably don't want to hear us talk about Megatron, at least, because as we know, he was a jet in the first movie, a tank in the second movie, a flying tank. And he has yet another new form in the third movie. Again, if you want to be surprised, then you probably don't want to listen to the rest of the podcast. Although we'll
And if so, then have a nice day. Yeah. See you next week.
But or you can just try to listen, because I don't think anything else is really spoilery, just talking about the toys until we get to Megatron. So when we say, here comes the Megatron discussion, that might be when you want to, you know, check out. But yeah, I mean, I honestly, there's a new gimmick in the toys, which I'm hoping isn't really in the movies. And one thing we've looked at, because we've seen toys. Let's go through the list real quick. We've seen Ratchet, Ironhide, Jolt, Skids, Deluxe Starscream, the Dreads, the Wreckers, Voyager Size Prime, the Voyager Megatron, and we've seen a couple of Human Alliance toys that are kind of small, a helicopter and a Doom Buggy, and a Leader Bumblebee. All these have turned up, I guess, via the Chinese stolen toy circuit. And they all have a line-wide gimmick called Mech Tech. And we've seen that on the packaging. And they all come with a giant weapon that pegs into the car mode. So we really don't have, even though we got some really awesome toys, the Battle Blades Prime was the awesome Voyager Prime, which was the Leader Prime, was great. Battle Blades Bumblebee, again, probably the best Bumblebee we've had deluxe size to date. But yet, instead of just, you know, re-releasing those toys, maybe with a slightly different paint scheme or a slight remold, we're getting whole new toys, and it's to work in this gimmick. And quite frankly, I think the toys suffer for it. I mean, the gimmick might be fun for kids as far as to play with them, but as far as collectors, it's not really appealing. And then the toy itself, you think, okay, well, just toss the accessory aside if you don't like it. Well, because the toy was designed to use the accessory, they suffer. The Voyager Prime we saw, just compared to Battle Blades Prime, it's not worth it. If you want a Voyager Prime to represent, you know, the movie Prime, then get the Battle Blades Prime that's still available now. Don't wait until you see this one, and then you'll be wishing you went back and bought the other. Iron?
Well, it's more of an aesthetic thing, too, I think. You know, I mean, these toys seem to lack an aesthetic that is pleasing to the eye, in my opinion. I mean, they just look clunky, and it's because they're incorporating this big, stupid gimmick of the peg-on guns. It's kind of like, I kind of harken it back to the Energon keys from Cybertron, the planet keys. You know, it was a gimmick that was incorporated into the toys that if they had left the gimmick out, some of the toys would have been absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. But ultimately were hampered by this gimmick of the cyber planet keys.
I remember Armada.
And I fear that the...
Wasn't the Armada toy line hurt more by the same type of gimmick? They just used Minicons instead of keys?
Yeah, well, you had Armada Hotshot, which, you know, could have been a great toy, but ultimately was just a brick with arms and legs because the gimmick that the Armada Hotshot had, which was a spring-up rocket launcher, his back axle actually kind of came up and spun around and became a rocket launcher. It ultimately ruined the whole aesthetic and the posability of the of the toy. I mean, yeah, the legs were pretty good, and the arms could just like move out at the shoulders and at the elbows, and that was it.
His head couldn't even turn.
And yeah, his head couldn't turn. It was just basically a brick with arms and legs.
So think of that hindrance and apply that to the awesome movie toys we've gotten in the past. Now take a really good toy, you know, of characters, because we've had previous versions of them, and then add a gimmick that hampers them that much, and that's what you have with these toy leaks, in my view.
And you know, I mean, some of them might look decent in person. Now you can only tell so much from a photo, but seeing the photos of some of these characters, I can tell you right now, the Dreads I don't care for. I don't care for Starscream. He looks the same to me. The Wreckers, I'm iffy on. Voyager Prime has taken the Prime toy has taken a step back. Although I probably will pick one up, whichever one, I think it's the Voyager one that will come with the trailer.
Right, just for the combining gimmick. If it works good.
Yeah, just for the combining gimmick. And the Megatron toy, which is awesome. That is by far the best looking toy out of the out of these figures that have leaked. Ratchet pretty much looks the same.
Let's go through the list here that we have and mention each one individually. Like I said, Ratchet, he's just a repaint. And he looks like the same toys before with a repaint. I can't tell, is there a any kind of gimmick there as far as with the mech tech? Does it look like it's been worked in any way? I can't tell by looking at the pictures. It doesn't really...
I can't tell either.
I mean, which would be unusual if all the rest of them have the mech tech. If he's just a repaint that doesn't have it, that seems kind of odd to me.
He just... That's just it, though. Ratchet is that one figure from the first movie, second movie, and now the third movie that just seems to be totally uninspired in his whole... I mean, he's a great-looking robot and great-looking vehicle, but it just hasn't changed. They just keep giving us different color variations of the same right. toy. I don't know if this one here that is seen, I don't know if it's Voyager or Deluxe. I'm assuming it's Voyager. It kind of looks like the Voyager.
It looks like the same mold, which is why I think was odd. They didn't work the gimmick into it.
Yeah, and I'm not inspired. And then we're to the...
The contrast Ironhide. That Ratchet is the same old toy. Ironhide, who had a much better toy in the other two movies and had bunches of repaints, instead of them reusing his awesome mold, he's the one that gets a new toy.
Yeah, and actually, you know, the robot mode looks pretty good. It does better what the Hunt for Decepticon Ironhide lacked. The Hunt for Decepticon Ironhide was a really good toy, but he suffered from having really stumpy, stubby legs. This one here actually looks proportionately good.
Yeah, because this one's a Voyager, yes. I think. The one we're seeing here.
This one looks proportionately good, though. I'm hoping that stupid mech tech gun is just completely... I wish you could just throw it away.
It's detachable. But you've got the big peg in the top of the roof, as we were talking about, that kind of, you know, you've got this big hole in the top of the roof to peg a gun into, so you don't have the smooth truck that the other toy had.
Yeah. But, we really don't understand the mech tech gimmick entirely. I mean, we can only go by what we've seen and read on packaging that we've seen so far. But I'm just not feeling right. The mech tech stuff.
The next toy I've got here is Jolt. Maybe we should put these in a little different order, because the thing that jumps out to me most about Jolt, I'm assuming it's a new mold. I'm hoping it's better, because the one from the last movie was kind of lacking. Character, only thing he did was electrify a Jetfire corpse so it would magnetize it and it would stick to Prime. I think the most significant thing here is also something we've noticed on the Voyager Prime images. He has what looks to be like a honeycomb pattern that it looks like it could be the solar panels or something, which is kind of strange. I don't know why they have solar panels all over the car. I mean, granted, he is an electric car, but, you know, the real Chevy Volt doesn't, you know, have solar panels. So I don't know what's up with that, but they're all over Prime as well. What were your thoughts on Jolt? It's obviously a test shot. Yeah, it's like a light blue with some black parts, because it's obviously a test shot and it's not painted yet. May not even be the release colors.
Feeling it. And I don't know if you noticed that. Yeah, the honeycomb thing on the hood looks like Ironhide has the same.
Oh, really? So that may be on all the new Autobots then.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell on Ironhide because it's solid black, so they're not going to stick out as much. Okay. Yeah. It's Skids, which.
Skids. Please, why are they coming? Why are these characters coming back? Did they not learn anything from Tuner Skids and Tuner Mudflat?
This looks to be, because I think that car, because they were based on concept cars, and I think the only one of them is actually getting released as a real car. So both twins are being reformatted. We've seen photos of the actual cars. They're both black this time, but one has green stripes, one has orange stripes. And it looks like a new mold. It doesn't look like the same toy, but it's still got the same doofy-looking head. But this time he appears to be wearing what looks like sunglasses, which just makes it worse. I hope they have a minimal role in the movie. But again, the toy, although it looks like a new mold, it doesn't really look to bring anything new to the table other than the mech-tech gimmick. So, not a fan of the original toys. They were a little too fiddly. This one looks like it's overly simplified for the gimmick. Nothing really super inspiring. Of course, he has a Legends version that's leaked as well. Which, again, I mean, I like Legends, but, you know, I really don't care about those characters. Now, Starscream, you mentioned...
He also looks
more
the same.
Well, this is a deluxe Starscream, though.
I know, but he looks like Starscream. I mean, he's... I'm just getting tired of getting these same figures that essentially have the same deco over and over and over, these same characters.
Well, the thing about, at least with Starscream, you know, I mean, we had the first movie Voyager, and then the second movie Voyager improved on it. And then you had that awesome leader toy. Now, granted, I know he's got a kind of a complicated transformation. There's only so much you can do in deluxe size. But personally, I think he looks kind of wonky. He's got these big gaps. I mean, hopefully this thing's mistransformed, but I don't see any other panels or anything that could, looks like they could flip or fold around to the chest. It just, I don't know. It that toy needs to be bigger because there's so much going on in that design. I just don't think it translates well to deluxe. I think it looks like crap.
I just don't see it doing better than what the leader class Starscream from the movie 2 line did. I have that leader class Starscream, and to me, that is the best Starscream you can possibly get.
Okay, well, that's all the old characters from the last movies that we got re-released. We saw new toys of those. Again, for the most part, underwhelming. Now we have our new characters. We saw the cars on set. Photos of the Dreads came up. We didn't know they were called the Dreads. It was just some black SUVs with Decepticon symbols. And we've been getting a lot of leaks on those. First, we saw some test shots in Dr. Gray, and then we ended up seeing some in Final Colors.
He's flipping me the bird.
He's, interesting to say the least. They've got these weird looking heads, and they actually have dreadlocks. I think the most.
How much do you bank that they're going to give the characters a Jamaican accent?
Normally I would think that would be tacky and cheesy, but considering the way that Michael Bay's been going with these movies, I mean, we saw what he did with the twins, it wouldn't surprise me. These guys will probably have Jamaican accents, but I think what's interesting is the big pincher sticking out of the front of the car. Hopefully those fold away, but in robot mode, they stick up over his back. He kind of looks like Shrapnel, the Insecticon, except Shrapnel didn't have dreadlocks.
This is another set of figures that I'm really not feeling, judging from the pictures. I mean, you might be able to put them in a cool pose and make it look kind of cool, but
I'm just thinking not feeling for the it. As far as the design for the movie and the concept. Again, if we could have gotten, you think of the first movie's concept, Camaro Bumblebee, which was awesome, and then you think of the Battle Blades Bumblebee, the improvement when they actually have time to work these out. I think some of these newer characters, I think the designs are interesting enough that if Hasbro had a little more time to get it good, they weren't racing a movie release deadline. I think these guys could be better. I think that's why these kind of suffer. They're that, first attempt at the characters. Second attempt are usually better. But unfortunately, you got these guys, the first attempt, which tends to be kind of sorry, being released along some of these other characters' third releases where they've taken a step backwards. And the whole line is, for the most part, looking sorry.
The Dreads, the Wreckers... they probably look more. If I'm biting on any of the new stuff, it would probably be the Wreckers.
Used to be a huge NASCAR fan. I collected NASCAR diecast before I got into Transformers. Of course, my favorite race car driver got killed in 2001 on the track, so I kind of faded out and lost interest. But the idea of getting NASCAR Transformers, that's something I want to do since I got back into Transformers. The idea has just always been awesome. Now, we've had several different toy pictures that have leaked of some of these guys. We've seen a Legends scale of the Jimmy Johnson, which is the Lowe's car, and he looked like he had a mullet. And then we haven't seen the deluxe size of that one yet, but then we saw some, at the same time as the Dreads, we saw some great test shots of a car. Of course, all the NASCARs without the paint schemes look the same. But then we ended up getting some painted shots of that deluxe, and it ended up being the AMP, Mountain Dew Dale Jr. car. And that's the one we have some painted robot mode pictures of. And he looks to be wearing like a ball cap and sunglasses. I think, sort of some better, closer-up pictures of his head. But I'm seeing some stereotypes here. We saw it with the twins, and like you said, they'll probably have the Jamaican accent on the SUVs, the Dreads. I got a feeling the Wreckers, because they're all race cars, and given like the mullet and the ball cap and the sunglasses, they're going to be redneck.
They're going to sound like
us.
You and me.
Michael Bay movies have a tendency to, take those stereotypes and run with them. There's a precedent. Unless they surprise me, I'll be really surprised if they don't have these reputations. But hey, we saw it with Skids and Mudflap. So unless they learn their lesson.
Fire.
And decided, okay, let's not go with these stereotypical, racial, ethnicity, whatever. I don't know if you want to call white trash an ethnicity, but whatever. If they give us the redneck white trash Wreckers and the Jamaican Dreads, then, so be it. Hopefully the movie... Yeah, I won't be surprised.
Call me unsurprised.
It'd be kind of disappointed. But I think, as far as the toys go, these will probably be the ones I will pick up on site. Just being the NASCAR fan and just, the first NASCAR Transformers, I got to buy them just to mess with them.
Voyager
as we
Prime.
Said, he's a huge step back from the previous Voyager Prime, who was a huge step up from the first Prime. And I'll be honest with you, I think this one, without having it in hand, I'm going to say he's a step back from the movie One Voyager Prime. It looks like, they both did the, the chest window cheats and everything. But the movie One Voyager Prime, at least the truck mode was nice and solid and smooth and looked good. This one, it's got those like ports, looks like for Mech-Tech all over it. And then, like I said, it's got that honeycomb, looks like solar panels all over the top of it. It doesn't look good. I'm not digging it. Even in the robot mode, its proportions seem kind of off. Its detailing seems a little shoddy. When this thing first shown up, people were thinking it might be like a Fast Action Battlers version because it was so underwhelming with the detailing. Especially like when you see the other two Voyagers, both were better. So very disappointed in Voyager Prime. What were your thoughts when you first saw him?
Easy pass. I'm looking at the picture of the robot mode right now. The forearms are way too oversized. The legs are very bland, undetailed. It looks like the chest area looks completely off. Granted, Prime may look different in the actual movie itself, and this may reflect that. But I don't care for the way the chest looks. And the way the fuel tanks kind of hang off the back, more opened up.
Just looking at the truck mode, there's too many brakes and it's too broken up too much. But I think the problem with the chest is his torso just looks too small. It's out of proportion with the arms and legs and head. It's not that, all the arms, legs, and the head all seem to be proportionate to each other. It's just on too small of a torso. And that causes everything else to look too big, in my opinion, just aesthetically looking at it. It's not impressive at all. This is, again, if you want Voyager Prime, get Battle Blades while he's available now. Don't wait.
And now, last but certainly not least, Megatron.
Yes, now this is the gem of the leaks. I said, again, I'm going to pick up the race cars just because I like NASCAR. There's nothing really spectacular about them, doesn't seem. But I got to say, what we've seen of this Megatron, and again, if you don't want to know what Megatron turns into, you may want to go ahead and end the podcast now. We'll see you next time. But he is a tanker truck this time. He's a tractor trailer with a tanker trailer. Think of like R.I.D. Scourge. Even his robot mode doesn't really seem to suffer too much from any kind of gimmicks. He does have the gimmick, but it's in the tank itself that sits on the back, which with the way they've transformed him, that just pretty much becomes his arm cannon, which he's Megatron, he should have an arm cannon. So he's not really hampered too badly by the gimmick. But I have a soft spot for tractor-trailer Transformers. Those have always been my favorite. I liked Prime, Ironhide, Motor Master, Octane as a kid. So here we've got Megatron, who for the first time has a decent looking alt mode in the movies, and it's a tractor trailer. But I think the coolest thing about him, he's got the tarp that drapes over the tank, And when he turns to a robot, apparently he's keeping the damage that he received at the end of the first movie when he got shot in the face, because he now wears the tarp as like a cape and covers his head, which I think makes him look like the Phantom of the Opera or something.
Yeah, I'm with you on everything about this toy. I'm with the exception of the tarp, but I'll get to that in a moment. I really like how the truck mode looks. I like how the mech tech is still integrated into the toy, but it's not intrusive to the aesthetic of the design. He looks really cool in both modes, with the exception, and this is where I differ with you, the tarp. I could do without that tarp. It just doesn't, I don't know, it adds something to the figure that honestly I don't believe should be there. And furthermore, I know this will probably be explained in the movie, but how do you go from Megatron being a flying tank to a tanker truck?
Right, and that's where I said this would be kind of spoilerish, because that's got to be something relevant to the plot. You know, again, if you remember the Revenge of the Fallen, when he got his butt handed to him by Prime, he got half his face blown off. And then, if I'm not mistaken, he got beat up so badly that even like his tank treads on his legs were just kind of like ripped and hanging off. You know, I mean, I know the Transformers, they can repair and reformat, but I mean, he's obviously kept the damage to his face, so maybe he's limited, not being on Cybertron, to resources to be able to repair himself. And with the damage he received, he was just no longer able to form a tank and had to reformat. But again, if he can just reformat, he can just reformat into another tank. So yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a plot reason for it. And I know, okay, the tarp, you're not digging the tarp. You know, I'm sure it comes off. I mean, because it's where it's at on him in robot mode does not appear to be the same place it would be on him in truck mode. So it has to be removable.
Yeah, and it kind of looks like it kind of forms over his arm there anyway, and his face. Excuse me. I'm kind of agreeing with you, too. It does look like it is removable, and I hope it is. But, you know, I mean, it's not totally terrible with the tarp on. It's just I would prefer it not to be there.
Right. What I like about the tarp, though, and again, this may be from the engineering perspective, was how they designed it to place it on the toy. Because, I mean, obviously they can't make it a cloth tarp on a toy. You know, in a movie, yeah, you'd have him drape the tarp over anything anywhere if it's going to be like a cloth or a cloth-like material. But in a toy, it has to be a harder, I mean, it could even be a rubbery plastic, but it's going to kind of have a preformed shape. And they've designed it so that it drapes over mostly like over one arm. But it holds a shape that not only covers that arm, but then when you put him in truck mode, it covers the tanker and it lays smooth as if it's draped over the truck. You know, it doesn't look like, okay, here's a tarp that's made and formed to lay over this tanker, but then in robot mode, it's just a tanker-shaped tarp hanging off the robot. You know, it looks kind of out of place. It's actually designed so that it looks like it's actually draped over him in both modes. It, you know, if you were just looking at pictures, you could think, oh, wow, that's an actual tarp because it seems to be form-fitting in both modes, but it's not. And I think that's brilliant the way they designed it to do that way. So you can have this hard plastic tarp that appears to be loose fabric draped over in both modes. And to me, that was what was brilliant about it. And that's what impressed me about it. Plus, he kind of looks like a Sith with that hood.
Yeah, I'm feeling the Sith thing too. We almost forgot the Scout Human Alliance helicopter and dune buggy. Pictures that we've seen. The helicopter, personally, it looks kind of doofy, but the dune buggy actually looks kind of cool to me.
I guess for me, the most exciting thing about this is that the Human Alliance line is being expanded beyond just one size class. Love Human Alliance from Revenge of the Fallen. You know, I mean, those are some, in my opinion, some of the best toys from that line. Because you take the characters we like and they put them in a larger scale so they can work a little more detail and complexity into them and get them, you know. And they all turned out great. I mean, even Skids and Mudflap, that is characters I didn't care for, I love their Human Alliance toys. So, yeah, on that one hand, yeah, see this as another scale of Human Alliance, which gives me hopes for a good Human Alliance RC if she's in the movie and she's a motorcycle. But these two particular Human Alliance, I'm just not digging either one of them. I mean, they look kind of cool, but it doesn't look like something that's going to pique my interest to pick them up.
Well, like I say, you know, the I like the bot mode on the dune buggy. I don't like the attack mode that it has. Kind of looks like an armchair with wheels. The dune buggy mode is kind of eh. It's passable. The bot mode is really what I'm digging. But I'm with you. The Human Alliance was really good in the second line. I'm happy to see it that it's continuing. I hope that we see more than just these little guys as our Human Alliance offerings in Dark of the Moon.
But yeah, because we'll see. I'm thinking with some of the looks of some of these other toys and the deluxes that we've looked at, you know, like I mentioned, you know, the wreckers, the race cars. You know, again, with going larger, when you consider that the Human Alliance Bumblebee compared to the previous Bumblebee, just making it bigger, they were able to make it better. And you know, I'm thinking, hey, I'd like to see those things done better. So maybe later on in the line, when they've had a little more time to work on it, they could release better wreckers in that larger scale in the Human Alliance. And I would be all over those.
Yeah. In agreeance as well. Is there anything else you might want to talk about?
Well, there was
relating to these.
No, I mean, just the last thing we had on the list here was the Leader Bumblebee that leaked. Which again, I mean, we got that Ultimate Bumblebee from the last line. That, you know, from, well, I guess it was Leader class, but I mean, that was a really good Bumblebee. I didn't pick it up only because of the price and, you know, with my other financial issues, but I've been tempted to. You know, and I think he looks pretty awesome. And I mean, this one looks like it could be better. But I'm thinking, how many big bumblebees do you need?
Yeah. Well, I'm almost bumblebeed out, actually. I mean, there's been so many releases of Bumblebee, and Prime for that matter. I'm almost getting tired. I mean, I love the 2010 Camaro. I like the Bumblebee character. It's just, how many times can you release the same toy,
right,
or the same character?
And I display these, and Bumblebee is supposed to be smaller than Prime. There's no Prime in scale with the Leader Bumblebee. You know, no. I like the... As far as scale-wise, the Deluxe Bumblebee, like I said, the Battle Blades is the best Deluxe Bumblebee we've had, and I think he's a really good one. And then you take, you know, the Human Alliance, if you want to go one a little bigger so he has, you know, more detailing and work the better transformation, you get the Human Alliance Bumblebee, which is great. And he's kind of out of scale with Prime, but at least he's not the same size. He's still smaller. I just don't see the need of a Leader Bumblebee, because he's not going to fit. You know, if you like to display your toys in groups, he's not going to fit with any other toy you have, because he shouldn't be the biggest toy in the group.
No.
So, I'm just not really thrilled by it. But I think the most interesting thing from this leak was we see the, you know, we talked about the MechTech gimmick with the big guns and things attached to top of the cars. Even the Leader Bumblebee comes with a huge backpack, whatever you want to call it, gun, MechTech gimmick thing. And it just looks completely ridiculous, the photos we saw. Here's this really nice... You know, Camaro sitting there, looks all beautiful, and it's got this big chunk of, I don't know what it's supposed to be, just sitting on top of the roof. It looks a little ridiculous.
And you know, this might be one of those lines where the collector lines will be centered on like Generations and Reveal the Shield, and say the movie line will be aimed mainly at kids.
Yeah, I think Reveal the Shield is like the subline of the current movie line. They just kind of carried it from one movie to the next. So I think Reveal the Shield is going to go away, but the kind of stuff we're getting in Reveal the Shield of Classics type characters are going to all release. My understanding, Generations is running alongside the movie. We're going to continue to get releases in that. Like I said, we'll get our preview Prime toys in that. You know, and hopefully that's where they'll go with the collector oriented stuff. As far as I'm concerned, the fact that there's only a couple of movie toys that I'm excited about just means that my wallet's not going to say ouch as much, which will be a good thing. So,
yeah. More money for BotCon.
Yes.
Well, I believe that'll do it for this week's Geek Existence Transformers. We hope you've enjoyed the episode. I know Greg and I have. We hope that you don't mind the change. I think it's better in the long run. We will, like I say, bring Geek Existence toys back whenever the time is right. I'm not going to set a timetable on it, simply for the reason that we just don't know, and we really need to find help in that area.
I think it'll be more of an issue of whenever something from another toy line catches our interest. but it could be more than we'd want to mention in the Transformers podcast because it would just take up too much time. Like, say some new Ninja Turtle thing comes out, I get really excited, or some new mask thing or something. We won't want to clutter up the Transformers podcast with that, so we may do like a just a regular,
like we were cluttering the toys up with Transformers
right stuff. So it would just be like the toy Geeks and Toys would come back for a one episode at a time, just whenever the subject matter comes up, and it may even be a short podcast, not near as long as this one. It may only be 20-30 minutes, whatever, but that's most likely until we can find a third podcaster who has interest other than Transformers. That'll probably be the only time we'll see toys, is when, just sporadically and occasionally short podcasts pop out here and there.
Most definitely. Well, like I say, that'll do it for this week of Geek Existence Transformers. We hope to hear from you, and see you next week.
See you next week.
This has been Geek Existence Toys with your hosts, Weird Wolf 1975 and Insane Galvatron.
Interact with us. Join our forums by going to our website at www.geekexistence.com and clicking on the forums link.
You can also geek out with us on Facebook by searching for Geek Existence. Be sure to like us on there and tell your friends about us.
Last but certainly not least, you can email us with your questions or comments via text or audio clip to our Gmail account, geekexistence@gmail.com. Audio clips must be 30 seconds or less in length and in MP3 or WAV format. Your audio question may be played in a future podcast, so please make sure they're clear.
Any copyrighted material that appears in our podcast is property of the rightful copyright owner. The content in this podcast was not intended to infringe on any of those copyrights and is used for informational purposes only. Credit goes to danosongs.com for the songs Gem Droids and Beautiful Straight Lines used within this podcast.
Don't forget our other podcasts available from Geek Existence. For the gamer, there's Geek Existence Gaming. For the toy collecting fanatic, there's Geek Existence Toys. And for the science, tech, and sci-fi geek, there's Geek Existence Science and Tech. Check them out. Available on iTunes and Geek Existence website. This has been a presentation of GeekExistence.com. Thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us for our next podcast.